Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Yati Achieves Liberation, Text 25. Satatra Niramukta Samasta Sangha Atmanubhutya Viduta Trilanga Paremale Brahmani Vasudeve Lebe Gatim Bhagavatim Pratitaha Sa Maharajyati. Tatra, upon doing this, Niramukta was immediately liberated from Samasta Sangha, all contamination. Atma Anubhutya, simply by understanding his constitutional position. Viduta, was cleansed of. Trilingaha, the contamination caused by the three modes of material nature. Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. Pare, under the transcendence. Amale, without material contact. Brahmani, the Supreme Lord. Vasudev Krishna, the Supreme, the Absolute Truth. Bhagavan, I guess that goes with the translation. Vasudev Krishna, the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan. Lebe, achieved. Gatim, the destination. Bhagavatim, as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratitaha, famous. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because King Yati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he was free from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence, Brahman, Vasudeva, Parabrahman, Vasudeva. And thus he ultimately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. Please repeat. Because King Yati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he was free from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence. Parabrahman Vasudeva. And thus he ultimately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the word viduta meaning cleansed is very significant. Everyone in this material world is contaminated. Karna, guna, sango, syad. Because we are in a material condition, we are contaminated either by sattvagun, by rajagun, or by tamagun. Even if one becomes a qualified brahmana in the mode of goodness, sattvaguna, he is still materially contaminated. One must come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, transcending the Sattva Guna. Then one is Viduta Trilinga, cleansed of the contamination caused by the three modes of material nature. This is possible with the mercy of Krishna, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Srinvadam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Ridyantaksto Yabhajani Viduno Tisaritsatam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, supersong in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the desire developed the urge to hear his message, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. A person trying to be perfectly Krishna conscious by hearing the words of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita certainly has all the dirty things cleansed from the core of his heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Cheto Dharpanam Arjanam, the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord washes away the dirty things accumulated in the core of the heart. As soon as one is freed from all the dirt of material contamination, as Maharaj Yati was, one's original position as an associate of the Lord is revealed. This is called Swarupa Siddhi, or personal perfection. Text again. Satatrani mukta samasta sangha atmanubhutya vidutav trilangaha paremale brahmani vasudeve lebe gatim bhagavatim pratitaha. Because King Ayati completely surrendered under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he was free from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence, Parabrahman, Vasudev. Thus he ultimately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. We have to learn or hear about how to hear. Generally, because we're deaf, we don't learn how to hear. But if we try to learn how to hear, we might learn how to hear. So learning how to hear, as Krishna says, means that we have to stop listening to the dialogue within our minds. Our mind is constantly having a conversation with us. As a matter of fact, there's no one we listen to more than our mind. But it is not possible to listen to our mind and hear from Krishna at the same time. The problem is, we think there's something more important than Krishna, or hearing about Krishna. Therefore, if our mind starts talking to us, or if someone else's mind starts talking to us from outside, because outside of Krishna consciousness, then all we're listening to is people's minds, the way they feel, the way they think, what they're doing. But these are all products of material existence. Either in sattva-gun, or in raja-gun, or in tamagun. Of course, for those who are aspiring to become devotees, we become a little disinterested in tamagun. Not that we're above tamagun, but we become a little disinterested. Because by practice of devotional service, after some time, we don't think about engaging ourselves so much in tamagun activities. Just like I saw on the internet, that now in New York, because there's a food shortage, on the street, they're grilling rats to sell to people to eat. You know rats? Do you know what a rat is? So most of us wouldn't be very much interested in eating rats. But people are becoming interested in eating rats, eating grasshoppers, bugs. They're grinding all kinds of bugs now and putting them into flour to fortify them. But devotees are not usually interested in such topics because we're not so much interested in ignorance. We might become more attracted to passion, who won, who lost. And goodness, of course, we might even be more attracted to. But all these things outside of Krishna consciousness are simply material conversations. Unless, of course, we utilize these things in Krishna's service, which is also possible. Just like Arjuna was fighting, which is considered generally the mode of passion or ignorance, But because he was doing it on behalf of Krishna, it was transcendental. On the other hand, we have to be aware that our mind is always going to be talking to us, and it's not possible to hear ourselves chanting if we're listening to our mind. And if we don't even bother listening to ourselves chanting, because no one else during japa, for instance, how many people are listening to everyone else chanting? Generally, we're trying to listen to ourselves chanting. But if we don't even bother listening to ourselves chanting, who's going to listen to us? And if we do listen to ourselves, what are we supposed to think? Oh, how wonderful I'm chanting. Even Krishna must be enamored by my wonderful chanting. Now we have to see, how am I chanting and how I can chant better? What the instructions are. If we remember the instructions, how to chant, then at least we can make an effort to chant more attentively, more feelingly, more clearly at least. Chanting to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, not to some force, some energy, to actually persons. Then we might even appreciate that I'm doing something valuable with my life right now. I'm actually becoming on the path of Krishna consciousness. I'm making some progress. And we hope that Krishna will reciprocate. And that Krishna will, since we're asking him to engage us in his loving service, he's already doing it if we're paying attention. We're trying to improve our chanting. We're engaged in his loving service. But Krishna may inspire us and even help us remember him or give us some experience of his presence in the holy names. And the same thing for Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the other Vedic literature. If we pay attention and try to absorb it, then we might actually get some benefit from it. Just like if one is eating a meal and actually chewing the food in such a way as it becomes digested, then the result is that one actually gets some energy from it. One actually gets some detachment from hunger, and one gets some nourishment. Nourishment, detachment from hunger, and growing strength. Similarly, if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the right way, from the right source, we should actually get some encouragement, some nutrient, some spiritual energy, some detachment from the material energy. But if we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and our mind is all over the universe, then wherever our mind is going to, that's what we're actually getting fed. And if we're being fed by the mode of ignorance, generally speaking, we fall asleep. We become very comfortable and everything becomes very nice. And if we're in the mode of passion, we can't wait till it's ended. We can finally eat. And the mode of goodness, we think this is nice philosophy. It might not be for me, but it sounds good anyhow. And in transcendence, we're actually getting some growing realization of my spiritual identity, that I'm actually the servant of Krishna, and I'm actually getting some strength to actually perform devotional service more consistently, with more enthusiasm. And I'm becoming detached from all the other influences that my mind is talking to me about. You got to do this, you got to do that, and if this happens, you got to do this, and things will happen in the future. And so many things to worry about, so many things to lament about, so many things our mind will talk to us about. There's no one who has a longer, bigger, wider conversation than our mind in the material world with us. Someone may be silent for 50 years, but he's simply spending his time listening to his mind and talking to it. So actually we should hear from Krishna and from Krishna's representatives, and we should talk to them so we can understand what Krishna wants us to do. And if we do that with some consistency and some steadiness, try to fill up the gaps of our devotional service, then the result is that Krishna will become pleased and gradually will make progress And here it says we come to the platform of realizing our identity, which is called Swarup City. So if we really want to find out who we are so we can live forever in full happiness and make our lives meaningful in every sense of the term, then we have to pay attention, first of all. Pay attention to Krishna and to his message, because we can't stop our minds. Arjuna was telling Krishna, "It sounds wonderful, the process you've given me, but I can't do it." Why? Not that Arjuna wasn't strong enough, or fast enough, or wealthy enough, or have enough material abilities or facilities, but he said, "Chanchalam himana Krishna, pramati balavadridam, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayor eva sadiskuram." That the mind is very restless, turbulent, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to be more difficult than trying to control the wind. So this is our challenge. Prahlad Maharaj said, actually, in this world there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. So we have to take we can't completely neglect our mind. We have to take it seriously. If we have something important to say, we should write it down. If we don't write it down, we'll be in anxiety. What did my mind tell me, but I forgot? So have a little piece of paper, a pencil, whatever. Write things down so that something important that the mind says, we can remember it and do it. The mind says that there's a fire in the brahmacharya in the ashram. We think, well, I got to chant my rounds. I'll take care of that later. At least we should write it down so that after we finish our rounds, at least we can go and put out the fire. So it is not that we want to completely neglect our mind, but we don't want to take our mind seriously when it's just making up things that have no value, called anartha. Therefore, the mind can be flickering and unsteady and very difficult to control. But Krishna doesn't disagree with Arjuna and say, actually, Arjuna, you're in maya. You should just control your mind. You should become a devotee. Forget about all your nonsense and surrender. No, he said he agrees with Arjuna. It's difficult. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Asam Shayam Mahabaho, Vinodur Nigraham Chalam, Abhya Sena Tikuntiya, Vaira Gena Tigriyate. It is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So the suitable practice, of course, is our this sadhana bhakti or our preaching work on behalf of Krishna. This is all suitable practice to control the mind. Just like if one goes on book distribution, immediately one becomes alert, like a soldier on the battlefield. One knows if I'm not alert, I might get into more difficulty than I'm already in. So suddenly becomes attentive. Suddenly one starts relying upon Krishna. Oh, Krishna, send me someone. Or something to come along, tell me what to say, make sure I, you know, before you go out, make sure I brought my identity, make sure I have some books, warm clothing. One is actually thinking. One start, what the intelligence starts clicking in. One discovers, wow, I actually have some intelligence. I'm more than just a machine. But one can come back and think, oh, I'm relieved now. I can go back to my normal sleepwalk. Find my, where's the prasadam room? My bed, oh, my bed. Now I have shelter. So one, even if one before one goes to sleep, one should think, I'm doing this to please Krishna, so that I'll think about Krishna at night, and then I'll go to sleep and refresh my body so I can go up, get up and use my intelligence in Krishna's service again. and another day trying to defeat my mind. Or as Prabhupada said, one should organize one's life in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours of day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So that requires intelligence. And what is that intelligence? Spiritual intelligence, very, very mysterious spiritual intelligence. Well, what is that? Manmana bhava madbhakto. One to think about Krishna. That's called spiritual intelligence. The person who's thinking about Krishna is the most intelligent. But how to think about Krishna? We have to hear about Krishna. Unless we hear about Krishna, how can we think about him? And the best way of hearing about Krishna is to hear from Krishna's books, Prabhupada's books, or hear from those who are repeating Prabhupada's books. Then make an effort to actually hear them, to absorb them, to digest them, to assimilate them, to get the spiritual nourishment necessary from them. So what are we doing that for? Madbhakto. So we actually become a devotee of Krishna. Now we think, well, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I'm just so happy to get my rounds done. I'm a good person. I did my rounds today. Yes, here's your gold star. Very nice. You're a good person. No, we should do it to actually please, for Krishna, to revive our relationship with Krishna, to actually show Krishna we have some desire to have a relationship with him. Not that I call Krishna whenever I need him. No, we actually should call Krishna even when we think we don't need him. To try to become his devotee. Now we call ourselves devotees, but how much feeling do we have in our heart for Krishna? How much, even if we remember him, how much feeling do we have? Oh, Krishna, I love you. I mean, maybe the closest we come to loving Krishna is loving his prasadam. I have a relationship with you, Krishna, through prasad. That's when I actually have some feeling. I got some inspiration. Or if one is fortunate enough, at times, when we show Krishna we're willing to sacrifice for him, then he reveals himself, and we feel so inspired. And we think, this is extraordinary. I feel inspiration. But actually, that's normal. That should be our normal existence. Not just for one time a day or the Prabhupada marathon, we get inspired, and the rest of the time, well, Krishna's far away where he belongs. No, we actually belong with Krishna. And when Krishna's far away, then we have to remember, what should I do to get close to him? We can chant Hare Krishna, we can hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we should go see the deities, we should serve the devotees, we should try to arrange our lives so that it becomes easy to become Krishna conscious, make our atmosphere spiritual. Then then we'll actually be in the mood of worshiping. Then whatever we're doing will be an act of worship, not just some mechanical thing. And then Madhyaji, Namaskaru, then we'll actually feel how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's service is, how wonderful Krishna's devotees are, and we'll actually feel a little humble that I'm not the center of the whole universe, that actually I'm a little loving servant of Krishna, and Krishna and his devotees and his service are all lovable. And then we'll appreciate everyone. We won't be depressed. Why do people not love me? Why are people so bad and I'm so good? We'll love everyone, and we won't really care about if they love us and back, because we'll be happy loving Krishna and his devotees. We don't have to wait for love, to feel love and inspiration and enthusiasm for someone else to manifest it. We can manifest it ourselves in whatever we're doing. If we follow the process, if we hear about Krishna, think about Krishna, try to become Krishna's devotee, try to worship him in what we're doing, and then gradually as Krishna reveals himself, then we'll actually feel, how wonderful Krishna is in his devotees, so that will invoke some natural humility within ourselves. Just like Srimati Rarani, she's unlimitedly blissful and unlimitedly expert in all her services to Krishna, but she's unlimitedly humble also. She thinks she loves everyone, so she thinks everyone is a better devotee of Krishna than she is. And therefore, that's why she's the best devotee, because her love is unequaled, because her humility is unequal. Her appreciation for everyone and everything is unequal, including Krishna. So it is not that we're trying to make advancements so we can become proud and think how great we are. We're trying to make advancements so we can realize how wonderful everyone else is, how wonderful the process is. Then we'll actually become satisfied and happy. We won't need so many arrangements to be happiness. We'll actually experience some happiness by utilizing our spiritual intelligence properly. And then our mind won't disturb us so much with all the nonsense things it has to tell us about how bad everything is and how it was bad in the past. It was bad now and it's going to be bad in the future. And the sky is falling only because I'm holding it up. It doesn't fall. By my anxiety, the sky doesn't fall down. So I'm a good person. In spite of the fact that everyone's causing me to suffer. So I have to give up this mind and then accept Krishna conscious intelligence, and then we'll actually be happy and make our lives successful. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Khala. Any questions? Yes. We have a microphone.
Srila Prabhupada often warns about hearing from the wrong source, such as Mayavadis. In present days, we also have some examples how people, they talk about Krishna, but they're not devotees, they're proclaim themselves to be different types of bhagavans or whatever. So would you say that the warning that Srila Prabhupada gives against hearing from impersonalists, which may be very severe at times, would also be now at this time, in this particular examples, yeah, hearing from non-devotees about Krishna? Oh, Krishna. Did that person also speaks about Krishna? Must be nice.
No, not really.
But they only they put him, they speak about him to put him on the side. No, but we have different.
Well, Prabhupada said, as we heard, milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effect. So if one is not a devotee, one is not hearing from actually one who's actually a devotee, repeating someone's message of the actual that the devotees are giving, then at best they'll be ineffective, at worst they'll be poisonous. Therefore, Mayavadis are not those who think they're Krishna. They're called Sahajya. Or at worst, they're the Mayavadis. Mayavadis also think they're going to become God. Narayan. Namo Narayan. So we don't want to hear from them. It will be Srup Damodar. When Bhagavan Acharya, his brother came, was speaking Mayavadi philosophy they had learned. Bhagavan Acharya wanted to hear it, but Srup Damodar forbade him from hearing from his brother this Mayavadi Bhasha. He said that. But Bhagavan Acharya said, "But really, I'm not going to be affected. We're all fixed at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So he said, "You may not be affected, but still, if you hear this nonsense philosophy that God and the living entity are the same, it'll make you unhappy. Why should you hear such nonsense?" So therefore, Bhagavan Acharya sent his brother back out of Navadvipa. Anything else?
When intelligence is not steady, what is the cause of that?
contemplating the objects of the senses, when we become bored and we look for something to make us happy, either subtly or grossly, then from lust comes anger, from anger comes greed, or from lust comes greed, from greed comes anger, from anger comes illusion, from illusion comes bewilderment, fault of remembrance. When we can't remember things properly, then intelligence is carried away, and therefore we find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't be doing. So it all becomes because we stop doing Krishna conscious activities, and then Maya offers us other kinds of activities to do. And then it takes away our intelligence. As the boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. So just look around, or watch a movie. Just watch a movie and see where your intelligence goes. It'll carry away our spiritual intelligence. We hear people talking about how they're their body and how they're going to enjoy and how they're going to suffer in the material world. Our intelligence gets carried away by identifying with these materialistic personalities.
I got reminded by you, because you were talking today again of something that I have been contemplating, meditating about, and trying to find an answer. Many times we hear that mind is talking and mind is doing this and mind is doing that, but in Bhagavad Gita, mind is not the mind, but the matter is described as five gross elements and the three subtle elements, and that mind is one of the three subtle elements. So if I understand correct, this means that the mind is the matter. So my question is, can the matter talk? Can the matter do all the things that we say that it does?
Yeah, of course matter does it, because it's being done under Krishna's direction. It's not the matter that's talking. It's Krishna's Maya who's talking to us through the mind.
So as this was my question, who actually speaks through my mind?
Maya. Illusory energy.
Her agents or her assistants?
She does it. She's empowered to do it. Krishna's Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya. Maya is empowered to bewilder all living entities. She doesn't need any agents. She's right there for us. As Krishna is all pervading in this universe, so Maya is everywhere too. Tristi Stiti Pralaya Sanam Shakti Eka. She's so powerful, she's creating, maintaining, and destroying the universes. Anyhow, we can't imagine how powerful Maya is, but anyhow, why should we give her any less credit than she deserves? Anything else? Hola, Grandarashi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.